This is special coverage about the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm News Director Sarah Bohannon. Today, we're checking in with three different people about how some non-essential businesses are staying open, even though the governor's order still remains in place and says they should be closed. That's a barbershop owner in Chico, Chico City Manager, and California's Lieutenant Governor. If you have questions for us, let us know on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. For Tuesday, April 28th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. Regaled as heroes and heroines for fighting the pandemic on the front lines, doctors, nurses, and other medical workers in California are increasingly contracting the coronavirus. Health departments around the state say 24 healthcare workers have died and nearly 4,800 have contracted the deadly virus. Unions representing nurses have been holding rallies at hospitals around the state calling for more access to personal protective equipment, or PPE, which unions accuse hospitals of rationing. Testing is becoming more available statewide, with officials reporting more than 500,000 tests being conducted since the crisis began, and testing data being more readily shared between private companies and health authorities. Abundant testing is considered critical for identifying the infected, especially people without symptoms who may be spreading the ailment. On Tuesday, the California Department of Public Health attributed 54 more deaths to the virus. A total of 1,809 Californians have died from it. Fatalities from the virus are up 43% compared to a week ago. Officials have confirmed 1,567 new cases in the state since yesterday, with the total number of Californians having contracted it now standing at 45,031. The number of people being treated in intensive care or in a hospital generally is fairly similar to last week. In the North State, the number of confirmed cases is unchanged from Monday at 109, with the death toll remaining at 8. A few new coronavirus testing sites are coming to the North State. While final locations haven't been determined, Governor Newsom announced that sites will open Monday in both Shasta and Sutter counties. In all, 80 new sites are set to open by May 4th around California, with the goal of putting a testing site within a reasonable distance of most communities. A number of counties across the North State are taking the first step toward lifting some stay-at-home restrictions put in place to reduce infection rates. Several counties, including Shasta and Butte, have established committees that will begin drafting plans, while Tehama County is soliciting plans directly from businesses about how they'd operate while maintaining social distancing recommendations and sanitizing facilities. In terms of the distribution of cases locally, Shasta County is reporting 30 cases, Sutter County 29. Butte and Yuba counties each report 16 cases, Glenn and Siskiyou counties each report 5. Plumas County 4, Colusa 3, and Tehama 1. Both Lassen and Trinity counties continue reporting no cases. Colorado and Nevada have joined with California, Oregon, and Washington in a multi-state pact formed 2 weeks ago to coordinate how and when to ease coronavirus restrictions. In a published statement, Governor Newsom said science and health outcomes will take precedence over politics in restarting the economy. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. As this pandemic continues and the curve starts to flatten in the state, questions about when we're going to reopen and lift restrictions are starting to be asked, and by some, they're even being demanded. Tuesday, Assemblyman James Gallagher, State Senator Jim Nielsen, and local business owners in the North State took to the steps of the state capitol, urging for the rural counties they represent and work in to be reopened. But California Governor Gavin Newsom has also made his stance clear, stressing that no non-essential businesses will reopen in the state unless science and data indicate that it's safe. What's not clear, though, is why some non-essential businesses in the North State are already open. In Chico, Gearhead Barbershop is welcoming customers through its doors, including frontline service workers who are being offered free haircuts, and other businesses in the city like Red Room Tattoo that has indicated they'll soon be open for business too. Posting on Facebook, quote, "The city has encouraged us to open. We'll be open again starting this Saturday." If you go to the City of Chico's website, you'll find a list of protocol elements for businesses to follow as part of an education campaign on exposure reduction. These protocols include social distancing, specifically staying 6 feet apart, and wearing a face cover. This list also clearly states, quote, "Only essential businesses are authorized to be open." That sentence seems pretty straightforward, but why is it not being enforced? To learn more, we'll hear from the city manager of Chico, but first we'll hear from Anthony Edom, the owner and operator of Gearhead Barbershop. He recently spoke with NSPR's Angel Hiracha. The first question Angel asked was how it's possible that his non-essential business is open right now when the governor's order clearly states it should be closed.
On April 20th, we're in the shop remodeling and cleaning when Chico code enforcement came in, and when they came in, they stated that we are a non-essential business and that if we were able to open as a non-essential business and follow the guidelines of essential businesses, that they would not close us down. When the code enforcement came in, it took about 15 to 20 minutes, and they went through our square footage. When they went through our square footage, they determined that we can have 6 artists on, and because we have a small waiting room, only 3 customers in the waiting room at a time. They also said that we needed to wear gloves and masks. At that time, we took it upon ourselves. My father is a chef. He's been a president of the Chefs Association. He's been a gourmet chef for my whole life. And I reached out to my father and told him the situation, and he said, you know, go above and beyond, handle it like you would food service, and each individual customer being in the preparation of food. So we decided to go to Smart and Final or any food service supply company. And we got disposable aprons and disposable drapes that we can use as a one-time use for clients and customers. So we prepared all that. When that happened, news media started reaching out to us. We put a quick ad. I wanted to get on social media as quickly as possible and let people know that we're open, for the main reason that I didn't want somebody to walk by, see us open, and start getting bad press that we're being open against any orders. So I wanted to be the first person to say we are open. We are following the essential guidelines and going above and beyond. As soon as the media ran their segment, the phones started ringing off the hook, and they have been since that news segment.
So the city approached you and gave you permission to open, and you're following their protocols.
Just to be clear, they didn't say we could open. Their exact wording was, if you are open and if you're following the protocols and if there's not a spike in COVID-19, that they wouldn't shut us down. But they did make it very clear that if we didn't follow the protocols and if there was a spike in COVID-19, that they would ask us to close down at that time. I tip my hat to the city of Chico and to the code enforcement. They have been here numerous times to check up on us and make sure everything and all the guidelines are being followed. And they're really working with us.
Obviously, you can't be 6 feet away from clients while you're cutting their hair, which is one of the city's protocols. Did they bring that up as a concern at all?
They have not yet. What they did is they made sure that our artists are isolated with that one client. So I have 13 stations in my shop, and only 6 are able to be working at a time. So it's pretty much, if you will, barber chair, empty barber chair, barber chair, empty barber chair. We are in contact with our clients, but we're taking all the precautions that we can. That includes the disposable aprons and gloves and masks. The only thing that seems to be the issue right now is the clients not wearing masks. We do offer them at the front desk. They are free, and also gloves. These are food service gloves that we're offering to our clients for free. There is no law stating that they, in the state of California that I know of, stating that individuals have to wear masks.
How did you weigh your decision to reopen?
I almost hugged the code enforcement officer when he came in. I mean, I couldn't, but I told him straight up. I said, man, I wish I could hug you right now. We've been closed for 6 weeks. We're one of the first barber shops to close down. My artists here are booth rental. I'm pretty much a glorified landlord. Went from 60 to 80 customers a day down to 5 customers a day. And I didn't want to put the financial impact on the artists and charge them booth rent when they weren't getting customers. So we're the one, the first ones to close. So being able to open with these protocols in place was something that I jumped onto as quickly as possible, and then took it above and beyond with the disposable aprons, making sure that everything was sanitized and clean. I feel that we had to start somewhere. So somebody had to open. I think it's naive to think that all businesses are going to open overnight. I don't think it's going to happen. And if we can help lead the way to other barbershops and salons opening, then I'm happy to oblige and make that happen.
That was Anthony Edom, owner and operator of Gearhead Barbershop in Chico, speaking with NSPR's Angel Hiracha. You're listening to special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. When we're back, we'll hear from Chico City Manager Mark Orme. Stay tuned. This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. We just heard an interview with Anthony Edom, owner and operator of Gearhead Barbershop in Chico, a non-essential business that has recently reopened despite an order from the California governor that is still in place and says his shop should be closed. So why is this state order not being enforced? For that question, we turn to NSPR's Andre Bayek, who recently spoke with City Manager Mark Orme. The first thing Andre asked was why a non-essential business is open in Chico.
Yeah, you know, we're wondering the same thing, candidly. One of the things that we've made very clear is that no non-essential businesses should be opening. One of the things that we continue to work on in collaboration with our health officer is determining if there have been any modifications as it relates to when businesses can open that are deemed non-essential. And at this point in time, it continues to remain the fact that non-essential businesses do not fall into the category of being able to open. So right now, it's bewildering that some businesses have opened, and it's one of those things that we're continuing to dialogue over of how best do you manage through these kind of scenarios when there are non-essentials opening up.
The owner says he was approached by code enforcement, who told him that they wouldn't shut him down if he were following certain protocols and there weren't a spike in COVID-19 cases. Is that not your understanding?
Yeah, it's not my understanding. One of the things that we're ensuring that we do is educate our businesses. And, you know, it's one of the things to be able to go in and really deliberate over the fact that, hey, look, We believe that you're non-essential, and so we want to inform you. And that's really what we've been doing. We've been going in, and that happened a number of weeks ago, where we would actually deliver a letter signed by me to each of the businesses that we saw open as they were being reported, or proactively when we saw one that was open that we're not sure about. And that letter, in essence, leveled out exactly what the governor's order was, and our attempt to abide by that to the best of our ability and our community support is what was essential. And within that as well, there was an attachment that was given which delineated the federal guidelines related to what's deemed essential and what is non-essential pursuant to the governor's order. So that's been our initiative. Go out, educate our businesses, hoping that they do the right thing. Following up on that, Chico wanted to be, as usual, innovative as possible and try to figure out ways to help the folks out in the private sector understand what are the best modes of operating once a green light's given to operate for, A, those essential businesses that are currently operating, and what are those different protocols can be put in place that are CDC recommended. So we put together really, I think, a great project. And it has this document that folks can follow. They can post on their doors or on their windows to allow for their customers to realize that they are abiding by a variety of protocols that the CDC recommends as it relates to social distancing, as it relates to sanitization of their locations, et cetera. Well, I think there was some confusion along the way, and there were some non-essential businesses that found that to be an opportunity to open if they abide by those rules. That is not the intention, nor was it the intention when that was developed. So that may be where some of the confusion comes in, but what code enforcement is doing is they're out educating and ensuring that folks are aware of the facts as they exist, and we're very hopeful that sooner than later we can come around that corner and the governor gives us a green light to authorize those non-essential businesses to open up again.
So as it stands today, these non-essential businesses that are reopened are operating. What is the city's approach going forward to either enforce the governor's order or not?
Yeah, so that's always the challenging one, right? Is what is the next step as it relates to how the city engages on that? So it's really important that we work with our health officer, who is also the county's health officer. So there is continuing dialogue between us in trying to determine what means we can utilize to help engage those businesses that are deemed non-essential that are operating. In conjunction with that, we are continuing to attempt to work with the state to find out what the best means of engaging on that front are. At this point in time, we don't have a ready means to engage on that next step, but those discussions are ongoing.
Is law enforcement not an option to come in and shut things down?
That's a great question. And at this point in time, that is not something that has been taken off the table, but nor is it something that has been engaged with at this time to the degree that we've had to go in and shut businesses down. That's, at this point in time, not an option, but we are in considerable dialogue over what options do exist.
For the bottom line here, should non-essential businesses in Chico be open?
No.
You mentioned some guidelines that code enforcement was bringing to businesses, essential businesses too. What are those guidelines?
Yeah, really all they are, taken right out of CDC and the other health agencies' guidelines of ensuring that proper sanitation of your facilities, how often you're doing that. I don't have them all in front of me at this point in time, but they're right online. They're on our website. And if folks want to go in and take a peek at those, right on the front page, we have a link that'll take them directly to those guidelines. And I think it'll be very interesting for folks to take a look at, because as we prognosticate, as we anticipate when that date may come where these businesses will be able to be opened pursuant to the governor's orders, I think it's prudent to kind of look at some of these medically directed protocols to be deployed. And businesses may find them to be reasonable, and some of them may find as unreasonable. But I think that at least kind of getting that information out there, I think was really important, because even those essential businesses that are operating, we're getting questions on whether or not they are abiding by best practices surrounding CDC guidelines, et cetera. So we just thought it was a benefit to get that information out there. And so it's easy to find for folks to go online and go to the city's website and tack that down. So I think what you're going to see come out of this ultimately is you're going to see a collaborative effort. And tomorrow, actually, we're going to be having a meeting to discuss specifically what that might look like as we go into that next phase on a countywide level. So I'm very thankful and grateful that our county health officer and public health and the county of Butte is collaborating with these, all five of us here in Butte County. And we're going to commence that discussion to a larger degree starting tomorrow. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm really excited about looking forward. In the meantime, I know we have some challenges, but I know that all the businesses and the community are ready to get back to whatever normal is going to be in the future, and looking forward to those conversations.
Can you perhaps elaborate on the discussions you'll be having countywide tomorrow? What those will look like, what you'll be discussing for future planning?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really going to be coordinated by the county EOC, which is fantastic. And the head or the lead is going to be public health. And so it's my understanding that what you're going to see is you're going to see a panel of professional medical experts that develop a game plan around what might protocols look like in order to allow for what I'm terming community and commerce to just thrive. And obviously community, everybody wants to get back together again. We all miss that community that's known as Chico, being able to engage in public spaces, to be able to have wonderful times of getting together and celebrating things. And then on the commerce side, obviously that's business, getting back to business, allowing folks to get out and businesses to get open again. And so really what this will do is this will enable those medical experts to be able to come up with those protocols and then be able to kind of throw them against the wall with the local jurisdictions, our local agencies, who hopefully, from what I understand, will be able to develop some work teams in varying industries so that they can kind of work through what their specific area of expertise would look like in a reopening based upon those medical protocols. And I think the effort, the initiative that's being put forward in this type of effort is going to be fantastic to see what comes out the backside, because you've got a lot of people who, A, care about public health, and B, care about this community and allowing this community to thrive, working together at the same table to bring all the information together and consolidate a potential game plan that we can then take to the governor or the state of California and say, look, here's Butte County. This is where we believe we can achieve success in opening back up our economy in Butte County, and see what he says. I think it's a logical approach, and I'm really looking forward to participating in that.
That was City Manager of Chico, Mark Orme, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek. Andre also spoke to California's Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis on Tuesday. We'll pick up the interview where he touches on this subject of non-essential businesses in the North State that have chosen to reopen despite orders to remain closed.
Some recent developments here in where I'm calling from in Butte County and in North State in general, some non-essential businesses, such as a barbershop in Chico and a jiu-jitsu gym in Redding, have opened and are operating. I'm wondering whose responsibility it is to enforce the governor's stay-at-home order as it is today.
You know, the governor has been pretty clear that this isn't about a big effort to use police powers to force people into these safety protocols. It's been about asking 40 million people in the state of California to recognize that the science is pretty clear about where we are, and we all need to do our part in order to stop community spread. So frankly, I think that what they're doing is putting themselves in potential danger and those of their customers. At the same time, I can understand their desire to go back to normal. And the fact is that several of the studies that have been done at Stanford and USC show the community spread maybe under 5%. In other words, it may be less than 5% of Californians who have contracted the virus already, which means that if you have a jiu-jitsu gym way out in a rural part of the state, where you can assume, at least for the moment, nobody's been infected, what's the problem with them getting together and potentially sweating and spreading germs if those germs are not likely to be germs that carry the virus? So I understand where they're coming from. But this is one of these things where there is a collective need for us to to stop this virus from spreading. And if anybody doubts that, just go look at the pictures of what happened in Italy and Spain and New York. Nobody wants that to happen again. And I hope that people will recognize that this is a science-based approach. And if you need proof, if you need to see it for yourself, what it looks like if this virus gets out of control, it's a Google search away.
I believe most non-essential businesses are abiding by the state orders and guidelines. I'm wondering if these non-essential businesses that continue to operate continue to do so, what enforcement mechanism is there to perhaps encourage them to stop?
Well, again, first of all, I really want to double down on this, that people in the community, as a society, we have to take this upon ourselves and voluntarily modify our behavior by looking at the reality of what we're up against. The governor did mention that if needed, CHP will be engaged. So he noted that today. But again, I don't think that it's any of us want to have to resort to that. It is working so well, this voluntary approach. And yeah, a lot of grumbling, but also the proof of the success of this is that we haven't had our hospitals overwhelmed with patients, and we haven't had to make decisions of who gets a respirator, who gets a ventilator, and who doesn't. That's all really good news. But what we're looking at now is getting people back into the workplace. He talked about, the governor talked today about what's called phase two. So which offices and retail outlets can safely go back to work. He also talked about schools, and I think this is incredibly important, in particular in rural areas where there isn't the kind of broadband that will support distance learning and where a lot of kids may not have access to iPads and laptops and computers. So he mentioned today the idea that if we can figure out how to do it, trying to bring kids back to school earlier than the fall, bring them back a month or so earlier in order to be able to get a jump on making up for what has been lost. Because I'm sure your listeners will agree, having students out of school for such a long time is not healthy for their educational development. It's also not healthy for their personal development and their social development. We need to get our kids back to school. And I'll tell you, if there's one thing that is so great about the situation we're in California, is you have a governor with four kids under the age of 10, a lieutenant governor with two high school kids, that's six kids between us. We need to get our kids back in school, and that's a real priority. And I think it's some good news that came out of his press conference today.
That was California Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek. And that is your program. If you have any thoughts for us, leave them on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. Today's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, Angel Haracha, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, News Director at North State Public Radio, and this is Special Coverage. Tune in each weekday evening at 6:30, or catch the rebroadcast the following morning at 8:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and stay tuned.